May the holy names of Jesus and Mary be blessed now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The birth of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, is in our midst. Baby Jesus humbles himself as God to be born very shortly, this week in the poverty of the manger in the grotto at Bethlehem. Baby Jesus passes through the gate while this holy veil of the Immaculate Virgin Mary remains untouched and with full integrity. The gate remains shut as we read in Ezekiel 44, chapter 44 in the scripture, where this points directly to the perpetual virginity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. We read these beautiful words in the scripture. The gate shall remain shut. It shall not be opened, and no man shall enter by it. For the Lord, the God of Israel, has entered by it. Therefore, it shall remain shut. Only the prince may sit in it. We rejoice then to know that baby Jesus, the man God, intervenes in history 2,000 years ago in the flesh to save mankind from their sins and to reopen the doors of paradise. The light has arrived, we read in the scripture of St. John. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. St. Paul repeated, For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. How can we then, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, see this light and see this salvation, which we read in the scripture today, which God is desperate for us to attain? The Saviour of the world, whom, according to the prediction of the prophet Isaiah, men will one day to see on this earth, and all the flesh shall see the salvation of God, has indeed already come. We have not only seen him conversing among men in time and space, but we have also seen him suffering and dying for the love of us. In order to grasp this teaching in the scripture today and this light, we must consider the love with which we owe to Jesus Christ, at least through gratitude for the love which he bears to us by his divine will to die such a violent death for us on the cross. Many mystics say that Jesus Christ complains about two things today. First is we are not thankful, we are an ungrateful lot, and secondly, we are most forgetful of his passion. Christ, says Saint Augustine, came on earth that men might know how much God loves them. He has come to show the immense love with which God bears us. He has given himself entirely to us. By abandoning himself to all the pains of this human life, and afterwards to scourges, to the thorns, to all the sorrows and insults which he suffered during his passion, and by offering himself to die, abandoned by all, and on the infamous tree of the cross. Baby Jesus is born in the manger this week, and also the mystics tell us that Jesus was suffering even his passion in the womb of his Blessed Mother. Jesus Christ could save us without dying on the cross and without suffering. One drop of his divine blood would have been sufficient for our redemption. Even a prayer offered to his eternal Father would have been sufficient. Because on the count of his divinity, his prayer would have been of infinite value and would there be for sufficient for the salvation of not just this world, but of thousands of worlds. But as Saint John Chrysostom says, what was sufficient for redemption was not sufficient for love. To show how much he loved us, he wished to shed not only part of his blood, but all of it, by a multitude of torments. This may be inferred from the words which he used on the night before his death, these beautiful words, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which shall be shed for many." These words "shall be shed" show that in his passion, the blood of Jesus Christ was poured forth even until the last drop. Hence, when Jesus Christ then, though he could save us without suffering, wished to embrace a life of continual pain and to suffer the cruel and ignominious death of the cross, he humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Many believe today that Jesus Christ did not die the worst death possible, that other martyrs have died a more violent death. But this is not true, because Jesus Christ took upon himself all the sins of the world. "Greater love has no man hath than a man lay down his life for his friends." To show his love for us, what more could the Son of God do than die for us? What more can one man do for another than give his life for him? "Greater love than this no man hath." Brothers and sisters in Christ, should a doubt ever enter into your mind that Jesus Christ loves you, raise your eyes and look at him hanging on the cross. We have this beautiful cross in this cathedral above. We can gaze at this cross. Saint Thomas of Villeneuve, a great saint, "The cross to which he is nailed," he says, "the internal and external sorrows which he endures and the cruel death which he suffers for you are convincing proofs of the love which he bears you." Say, as Saint Bernard says, "Hear the voice of the cross and those wounds crying to you, out to you, to make you feel that he truly loves you." Also this week, lower your eyes, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, to the manger of the Lord. On a cold night in Bethlehem, where Jesus Christ starts to take up his cross for you and me, even as a child. Note well the first shedding of his glorious precious blood, when circumcised for you and me, so that we too may be cut to our hearts. "It appears folly," says Saint Gregory the Great, "that the author of life should die for men. But whatever infidels may say or think, it is of faith that the Son of God has shed his blood for the love of us, to wash away the sins of our souls, who hath loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Hence we know that the saints were struck dumb with astonishment at the consideration of the love of Jesus Christ. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them even until the end, we read in the scripture of Saint John. This loving Lord was not content with showing us his love by being born in poverty and dying on the cross for our salvation, but at the end of his life, we know he wished to leave us his own very flesh for the food of our souls, that thus he might unite himself entirely to us. When he said these words, which we all know well, "Take ye and eat, this is my body." Let us then make this resolution not to wait until the hour of our death to contemplate the mystery of the love of Christ suffering for us at Bethlehem, also in his life in the house at Nazareth, and especially at Calvary. Let us during life embrace Jesus Christ crucified. Let us keep always united to him, that we may live and die a holy death with him. He who practices the devotion to the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ cannot be but devoted to the dolors or the sorrows of Mary, the remembrance of which will be a source of great consolation for us at the hour of our death. How profitable and sweet the meditation of Jesus on the cross. Oh, how happy the death of him who dies in the embraces of Jesus crucified, accepting death with cheerfulness for the love of that God who has died for love of us. Let us all remember this week when we are celebrating this great feast, when our Lord comes to us in the manger at Bethlehem, the birthday of Jesus Christ, who cries out to each and every one of us to listen to him as he knocks continually at the door of our hearts. O baby Jesus, thank you for taking on our humanity so that one day we may partake in your divinity. O Mary Immaculate, help us to humble ourselves at the foot of the manger and the cross so that one day we will see baby Jesus and the salvation of God. May the holy names of Jesus and Mary be blessed now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.